Heavenly Father, as we come around this word this morning and we bring our Build to Reach offering to this year, pray, Lord, that the windows of heaven would open over every family, over every life, over every business. Father, that we would find your provision and your graciousness far outrunning us at every turn. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. Tap your neighbor and say, man, this is going to be fun. And you can have a seat. Are you guys staying here? You can sit down for 20 minutes if you want to. Just to rest the legs. I'll get you back up soon, though, okay? Appreciate the band as they come off to this morning. They've done a great job leading us, as usual. Okay, I've got a great, hopefully little message, but we're going to bring our offering. Just want to reiterate a couple of things from last week. We are looking in the month of July deliberately at Come and See Rest. And I want to say to you that I didn't, when I actually put the program for the year together, didn't really deeply think through the connection between this topic and the Build to Reach offering. But as the days and weeks approached to today, and last week's message came out the way it did, I kind of go, God, you're so good. You are so good to us. Because this is another dimension of the way that God's put in our hands a practical thing we can do that brings rest to us. And that is the whole realm, the whole act of being generous and to giving things to God and to other people, absolutely. So last week we presented the foundational thought for this series, which was coming to Jesus or to God is central to finding rest for our souls. In other words, our inner world, no matter what's going on the outside, if we have had a revelation of, or someone's encouraged us to, or we've worked out for ourselves that if I can position myself near God, I can probably weather almost anything that comes my way. Rest is not the absence of work. Rest is a relationship with Jesus Christ. It's actually having the Prince of Peace as your nearest companion through thick and thin. One of the dimensions of that rest is contentment. It's learning to actually be happy with what we've got. And for us in Australia, we've got a lot compared to other parts of the world. And I've noticed travelling to other parts of the world where people have a lot less stuff than us, a lot less security than us, a lot less. They're able to find peace. So peace has got nothing. Rest's got nothing to do with our lot in life. It's got everything to do with who we hang out with. And his name's Jesus. The other thing that I mentioned last week was this, that having a sense of peace about the future, in other words, not worrying about tomorrow, involves being very confident that I'm a seed sower, very confident that I'm a disciplined person who along the way is sowing, because I believe the word of God's true, that he who sows sparingly will reap sparingly, and he or she that sows generously will reap an abundant harvest. And so there's a consistency and a repeated process, which is why we talk about tithing every week. It's not just about bringing an offering to God. It's actually about this particular matter this morning that I want to bring to your attention. I actually put a heading into the YouVersion notes for this morning, stealing a little line from Industry Superfunds. Had a little ditty on TV a few months ago, years ago, called From Little Things, Big Things Grow. You know, they went, from little things, you know, I won't sing it for you. But that's not an original thought. They've stolen that from somewhere else, but it's true. Our future, this church's future, is in our hands this morning. So however we consider ourselves, compared to how we started back on the 3rd of December 1995 with 23 people, God's actually added to this church congregation, people, resource, voice, influence, souls, breakthroughs. We've seen people, all sorts of things have happened, been healed. In fact, I wanted to reflect on, this is just a few thoughts I've had over the last 20 years. So what God's done with us being consistent in bringing to him gifts and offerings. So we've had tithes and offerings received in this church from before its start date. I remember Steve and Jen Cox early up. Jenny's still part of our congregation and has been, and Shane and Nathan's mum. Fantastic couple of starters with us back then. And I don't remember exactly when it was, Jen. You might be able to refresh my memory. I think it was maybe August, September that year we started putting our tithes together. Can't remember exactly, but it doesn't matter. Before the church started, we were sowing seed into this church together and some other people. It's like, and so I was sitting down just tidying up this message later in the week, last week, and I began to reflect on the last 20 years. And so this is what God's done. We've just turned up and followed a vision, but God's established a worshiping community of believers here. Look around. This today is here because of seed sowing over 23 years ago. God's grown this group of people and changed who's in it over the years. Not everybody who started is with us anymore. They've gone on to other things or dropped out altogether, or not a matter of making a comment about what that is, but God's in the business of assembling people in a congregation, as it says in the 1 Corinthians chapter 12, I think it is, according to his will and purpose. Sometimes I know as a pastor over the last 20 years, I've gotten really, really twitchy about people leaving, because we're relationally driven, and I'd be the first to admit maybe I haven't handled some of those departures all that well. What helps me to get my head past my indignation about that sometimes is realizing that maybe God's assembling the next season of the church the way he wants it. So even though I might understand why so-and-so's moving into something else or doing something else, God knows. He's actually got it. He actually has got it. He's provided us with resources of equipment. I mean, we didn't just snap our fingers and this stuff appeared. Everything that we're sitting on, standing in, the air conditioning, the lighting, this building, is not the result of federal government grant. It's actually the result of this congregation over 23 years bringing offerings and nothing else. Offerings of time and money. Resource, headspace, emotional energy, putting up with disappointments. We've been generous with each other in forgiveness. We've been generous with each other in patience. We've been generous, as the Bible says, to bear with one another. We've had to do all that. Why have we done that? This is the result. This is what God's doing with us consistently, coming in through the front door on a Sunday morning, consistently during the week, meeting in connect groups, praying for each other, consistently helping each other. We give food to new mums. We look after families. We pray. We have prayer requests. We have WhatsApp groups around to please pray for such and such. There's stuff going on in people's lives. And what I love about it is God supplied us with this community of believers who are there for each other. We're not always the best there for each other because we're not perfect. No church is. But that doesn't stop me from standing back and go, wow, I am so grateful, God, for what you have done in this place. He's opened doors for us to serve others in the community, other churches and places near and far. Never ceases to amaze me that we've had a voice for over 10 years in the Czech Republic. Never ceases to amaze me that we've influenced and helped a gypsy church in a little village called Miglich in the middle of Blinken, Bulgaria. Like, it's not even easy to find that place. But we, as a church, have actually sown into that place. There's an influence that's going to go on there into the centuries ahead. Who knows for how long? In fact, I was reading posted something during the week on Facebook that there is a new law being pretty much drafted and it's going to be enacted in Bulgaria that nobody except the Eastern Orthodox Church is going to be able to train ministers, and no foreign ministers are allowed to go into that country to preach. It's a response to terrorism and fundamentalist religious extremists of any persuasion being disconnected from the Bulgarian country. But obviously it's like a big stick. It's going to make it very complicated for the likes of us to go in there. So what I'm saying is there's things going on the whole time, but God's got it. God will work that out. Somehow or other, we'll work that out. Got no doubt about that. He's provided us with friends. Never ceases to amaze me the friendships I have seen forged in this church. And some of you have had to walk through the difficulty of making friends and then those friends deciding they're no longer going to be part of this church. And it's like, that's complicated. I get that. But I'm still grateful for friendships. Yeah. It's like it's really easy to concentrate on the bit that's kind of maybe not as tidy as I'd like it to be or as I wish that hadn't happened. And I do wish that didn't happen. But what I do say is I am so glad that friendships are formed. I'm so grateful to see people who've just walked into our church and they've formed a completely brand new friendship group. That's God. That's a gift. One of the biggest problems in our community is loneliness and people not having anybody who cares about them. Look around this room. We are, if we're not doing a good job, let's just lift the bar a bit, but we're called to to love each other, to care for each other, to bear with one another, to be there for each other. That's community. That's a gift from God. Don't just assume it's going to be here because we turn up and you can come and go when you like. It's like, no, I'm part of this community. Yeah. I give to it. I give to God. I'm really into it because it's life and breath to me. So he's provided us with friendships. He's provided us with opportunities. I've actually seen a few people get married in this church. I mean, that's amazing. People find their life partner in a church like this. It can happen. It does happen. I've seen families. We've watched children being born into the congregation. Little kids down the front, week by week. They go from Aubrey's, one of the youngest ones. She's not. There's a lot of young ones. But she's the youngest one in that transition from being on the floor just sort of sitting around. She just started walking. She's wandering around. And she lets her presence be felt when she's not happy anymore. And it's like... to me, as a grandfather, as someone who's been here for the whole journey, I've got to tell you, I'm grateful. I don't take any of it for granted. I don't look around the room and go, oh, man, this is just average, whatever. No, I come in the door and go, honestly, it's like I am so grateful. I am so thankful. I'm so honouring of God. I've seen flourishing lives. I've seen difficult seasons being navigated, people going through all kinds of tragedies and difficulties. We've buried babies. We've buried parents. We've conducted weddings. We've baptised people. We've done all that stuff. And it's like, if we just look at it as stuff we do, that's the end of it. But it's not the end of it. What it is that's the life of a group of people who love God, and he's just bringing his life and his goodness and his grace into us at every turn. And so when we gather together, like we just sang that song, it's like, oh, it's just a song that the pastor likes. You might be one of your favourite at the moment. It's certainly one of mine. But it's like, no, don't look at it like that. Look at it through the lens of, I'm so grateful. I'm so grateful that we've got musicians in our church that are really good musicians. They sing and play really well. I'm hopeless, but I'm really lifted up by their high level of musicianship. I'm grateful for that. It's not my right. Oh, you know, the music in our church, this church is kind of this. It's like, part of me goes, if someone says that to me, I go, who the heck do you think you are? Do you not realise these guys are here every 2 weeks? They practice for hours. They just don't. So flourishing. We've connected with people all around the world. Never ceases to amaze. We've got friends all over the place. And I know you have. I know as a congregation we have. We've sent guest speakers that have come here with love offerings to the four corners of the earth. We've been generous with our guests over 20 plus years. I know we have, and I know that they have carried something of our church to the four corners of the earth. I'm grateful for that. So God's given us space to expand our influence and voice in places like Fiji, Eastern Europe in particular, and Canada, and as well as across this nation in Australia. Given us people and circumstances that have stretched us and grown us. He's given us vision for expansion into other locations as a church. Like, that's just beginning to take some steps forward at the moment. Mark Kelsey talked to us a little bit about that. It's like, I don't know about you, but I reckon that we can continue to sing the praises of God with a sense of gratitude. It's really easy to pull back from that when things aren't going the way we want them to or the way we thought they would. But if I can stand back even from a complicated season of life and maybe ask myself, is it possible for me to look at this really difficult season through the lens of gratitude? Is it possible to be thankful or isn't it? And sometimes we can even be robbed of that completely because of just how much we get tied up in difficulties. So, what am I trying to say this morning in a nutshell is this. It dawned on me that if we focus on Genesis chapters 1 and 2, on the creation story, that we can get a little bit hung up on, well, it's about what God said. And it is. God said, let there be. And that would be a perfectly legitimate text to unpack with that particular line of thinking. But I want to put it to you this morning that what he said was said because he's generous. He's generous with the universe. He's generous with the number of species of animals on the planet. He's generous with the number of grains of sand on the seashore. He's generous. He's big. He gave it to us. He's given it to us and says, go and make it work. He's given us this gift. So I've got a statement that I want you to just, if you're taking notes this morning, the story about the Jesus on the cross, he gave his life for us. I'll say it again. He gave. He gave his life for us. The whole creation, your position in the kingdom of God, mine, our place in Christ, is all a result of giving. God's demonstrated to us that the key to his kingdom, which Jesus mentions, I give you the keys to the kingdom. He doesn't say what they are, but I'd put it to you this morning. One of them is understanding that you're created in God's image. I'm created in God's image to be a giver. And when we give, big things happen. When we give little things, big things grow. When we sow seed, a tree can grow. When we... God's big. When God says, let there be light, he didn't just have one little torch with an LED back then pop into the being. Our sun was created, and countless, like scientists, are still unable to count how many suns there are in the universe, the known universe. And then there's theories that there's universes that are in other dimensions. There's all kinds of weird things that still say to me, we've got the partial capacity to imagine a limitless God with limitless light. He put lights in the universe, like billions and billions and billions of them. He gave that to us. And so it seems to me that it's an anathema for us to remain in a place of self-centeredness, because God's heart is selflessness. And so coming around an offering like Build to Reach, coming around an opportunity to give to God, to my way of thinking this morning, has got to be based in the reality that God wants us to become like him in all areas of our life, and that includes giving. Matthew 20:28 says this, just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. This little statement, you can write this one down as well. It's worth noting it. Giving is what opens the future that God has planned for us. Let me say that again. So giving is what opens the future that God has planned for us. Now, I'm not clearly only talking about an offering. I'm talking about a worldview. I'm talking about a perspective that lives in us because we are givers, not because we give. We could be a person who's not a giver and give. In other words, we give because we've been told to or we're invited to. It's the day we do it in church. That's okay at one level. But at the better level, it is, no, I give because I'm a giver. I'm actually wired to be a giver. And I want to encourage you that we are wired to be givers because we're created in the image of God. It's not like you've got to have something new put in you. You just got to have what's in you switched on. You've got to have what's in you fanned into flame. You've got to have what's in you and me. Just have a moment where there's fuel thrown on that fire and poof, away it goes. And a whoosh, massive bonfire of generosity takes off inside our hearts. This, you might not agree with this statement, but I thought this through. Every prophetic word that you or I have ever received will come to pass as a result of giving. I don't see, really, God acting in his creation in any other way than giving. He gives us people. He gives us leaders. He gave us resources. We've got the incredible capacity to invent things. Everything around us has been invented by somebody. It never ceases to amaze me that as people, Look at chimpanzees and monkeys. They're lucky to gather a few sticks together. They're meant to be pretty intelligent. They don't actually build jumbo jets. When you're sitting in a massive Airbus A380 that's got a million moving parts in it, never ceases to amaze me that somebody was prepared to put all those rivets in the airframe. Somebody was prepared to assemble the wings and the engines. And the engines alone are worth, I think, $30 million a piece. They're massive pieces of equipment, but the only reason they exist is because we are able to work together. And so when we come around a Build to Reach offering, you might think, well, I'm just putting the pop rivets in the airframe. I'm just putting the tyres on the wheel hub. I assemble the brakes. I've got the cockpit joystick thing. That's what I'm putting into the aeroplane. And you can look at it through the lens of, it's only the bit I've got. But God's got a plan to build an A380 Airbus. God's got a plan to create a church that can change the planet. Not just us as a congregation, but his church, his body in different persuasions, different theological frameworks. They're all, those that are all following Christ and professing him as the Son of God, the risen conquering King that he is, those churches together with us are his body on planet Earth. And God's plan is for us to be big. But we can sometimes feel like we're not. But I want to say to you, connecting ourselves with that bigness is doing our bit. It's us saying, I went to work for 8 hours and I put 3,000 rivets in today. And I've got to go back and do it again tomorrow. For me, that would be not the job I'd look for. But when I'm flying in a plane, I'm so grateful someone did. I'm so grateful somebody actually put the fuel in the thing. I'm actually grateful for the guy that's walking around there with a high-vis suit on in the pouring rain, putting my luggage into the cargo hold. It's going with me sometimes. Like, I'm grateful. And I'm just wondering this morning if we can pull back and go, you know what? I'm thinking about what Pastor Bruce is saying. And I'm beginning to actually, if you haven't already, I'm beginning to go, you know what? I can be grateful. In fact, I want to be grateful. Interesting that Jesus himself talks about not worrying about the future or not worrying about, I've put in my notes, X, Y, or Z, you fill in the gaps, is the fruit of giving. Because in Luke chapter 12, I've lost my scripture. Jesus tells this story of a guy that, I'll just read it. We're starting in verse 16. He told them this parable. The ground of a certain rich man yielded an abundant harvest. That right there is, that's a sermon in itself. The ground, say the ground. Ground. Say it again, the ground.
Ground.
Who created the ground?
God.
So whose ground is it? God's. Where does the rich man's abundance get derived from? God's gift. That's a message in itself. The ground of a certain rich man yielded an abundant harvest. You can think that it's all about what you've done. No, what you might have done and what reward that you or I've got from it is because it's been planted in something that was given to you. Oh, I love that. Let me say, you got there because it was planted in something that was given to us. I don't know about you, but I'm starting to get excited about I can give to the God who gives. I can give an offering to the Lord God Almighty who's given me absolutely everything. So he thought to himself, what shall I do? I have no place to store my crops. He's having a Steve Jobs moment. He's got so much money, he doesn't know what to do with it. He says, this is what I'll do. I'll tear down my barns and build bigger ones, and there I'll store up my surplus grain. And I'll say to myself, you have plenty of grain laid up for many years. Take life easy, eat, drink, and be merry. But say, but God. Not a good day when you have a but God moment. Unless it's a good thing he's doing. But this was not for this guy. But God said to him, you fool. I don't want to ever have God call me a fool. This very night your life will be demanded from you. There it is in a nutshell. Who owns his life? It's a gift, God, and it's going to be taken from him. He's got a truckload of money. He's got his barns are full. Let's just assume, put it into the context of 21st century, he's loaded. He's got more money than he can spend. It's coming in faster than it's going out. No matter what he does, it just keeps getting more and more and more and more and more. But what's not clear to him is that his life's a gift. This very night your life will be demanded from you. Then who will get what you've prepared for yourself? This is how it will be for whoever stores up things for themselves, which is the antithesis of giving. It's like, I need this money. I need that. I need this. If you need it, God knows you need it. And his trick, he's a tricky God. His trick is, the answer is not to keep it. The answer is to give it away so that he can give it to you. So you know where it's come from. I'll give and he'll give. I'll give it away. I'll give it up. So this is how it will be for whoever stores up things for themselves. But listen to this last little phrase here. But it is not rich toward God. That's a really interesting phrase to unpack and meditate on. Ask yourself, am I rich toward God? In other words, is he close? Am I actually walking the life of peace because he's close? I'm rich towards God. I've got some rich friendships that I know that they are rich in every sense of the word because they're close. That's what he's calling us to be with him. So keeping our wealth to ourselves will not bring peace or rest long term. Giving to God will bring rest and peace. The very next verse in this text, in other words, chapter 12 of Luke's gospel, Jesus goes on to link this issue of keeping its stuff to yourself with the issue of worrying. He says, don't worry about it. They're linked. So giving to God is the antidote to financial worries. Proverbs 11:25 says, a generous person will prosper. Whoever refreshes others will be refreshed. Whoever gives rest to another. So a meal dropped into somebody who's going through a rough trot, whether it's might be the chaos of a brand new family member coming. We give meals to people. That's refreshing. Bible saying, if we are generous and refresh others, we'll be refreshed. The more that we are generous together, the more I'd be confident to say that the atmosphere in our meeting, the atmosphere in our church congregation, when people come and visit and become maybe interested in becoming part of this congregation, I'm hoping and praying and believing that one thing that will be experienced is this sense of being refreshed, because we're good at refreshing. We refresh others. We're generous. I hope this is all making sense. So we're coming down to our Build to Reach moment. As we come to Build to Reach this year, it is important, as I've already said, to reflect on what God's done with us. Thanks, guys. You've come back and we'll just get into this in a moment when the kids come back. So I don't know about you, but I'm ready. I've considered what Julie and I are going to give this year. And I just want to encourage you to, as I said earlier up at the very start, looking at the young people down there, it's really easy to go, he's talking to all the old guys. No, I'm talking to you guys. Don't come to God with nothing. Don't sit in your seat. Don't stay there and say, this is not my thing. Looking down here. We actually invite you to come out the front with this offering. Not to make anybody feel uncomfortable, embarrassed. But I want it to be a moment where you truly get a revelation that I am bringing and giving a gift to God. And we're a Pentecostal evangelical church, theologically. So we have a belief that when leaders, people who have been given the authority by God to impart things, as you give, we love to just pray briefly with you to remind you that as you give, God is always going to be there and he's going to bring and he's going to keep giving. He's already given you everything anyway. And so we pray for you to be blessed, for you to remember that this is a moment that you've come to God with a gratitude and grateful heart, generous heart. And he's actually moved and touched my life. Father, we thank you for the opportunity we've had to worship you with this offering today. And Father, every prayer, every dream, Lord, every moment that's been given, every sacrifice that's been made, I pray, Lord, that you would command a blessing that so outruns us is ridiculous. And so, Father, watch over us and guide us into the year ahead. pray, Father, that as we come around a meal in a little while, the tables have been set up and the food's been served. Father, we're just grateful for that supply. We give you thanks and we pray, Father, you'd be present richly in our conversation and around this meal today. In Jesus' mighty name, amen.